We all know suffering. And in light of the great suffering and evil in our world, many ask, why do so many bad things happen to people? Perhaps you've asked that question. Maybe you are wrestling with this question right now. If you've ever wondered about this, I have good news filled with great hope for you today. Some believe that God brings blessings to good people and brings judgment in the form of suffering on bad people. But is this true? No. How do I know? Have you heard of John the Baptist? According to the Gospels in the Bible, God commissioned John to preach about the coming of Jesus the Messiah, to help people be prepared to meet Jesus. John was so faithful in carrying out this mission from God that Jesus later said of John, "Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." But nevertheless, John was arrested for his preaching. As he languished in prison, he had many more questions than answers, even questioning whether Jesus was the Messiah after all. Eventually, the king had John killed for his preaching. It seemed like evil triumphed. Why? Did John deserve this? No. As we have seen, Jesus himself said there was no greater prophet than John. Why then did John suffer and die for his faithful service? Didn't God hear his cries and prayers from prison? In my new book, Why We Pray, Understanding Prayer in the Context of Cosmic Conflict, I address this and many questions about prayer much further. John is not the only instance of undeserved suffering. Jesus himself also suffered and died, providing the ultimate example of God's love for us, but also the ultimate example of undeserved suffering, proving beyond any doubt that suffering is often undeserved. As the book of Ecclesiastes teaches, sometimes the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. Another character in the Bible, Job, also suffered great losses and hardships undeservedly. He suffered so greatly that he was counseled to curse God and die. But Job refused to curse God. Yet he did ask God many profound and sometimes pointed questions, even asking for a hearing with God himself. At first, Job's friends did well and comforted him. They sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. But then they opened their mouth to attempt to explain why Job was suffering, and they only added to his suffering. They claimed that what happened to Job must have been God's judgment against him, but they didn't know what they were talking about. We know this because at the end of Job, God directly rebukes them for not speaking rightly of him. Job would have been better off if his friends had not attempted to explain what they didn't know. Typically, when people are in the throes of deep suffering, the last thing they need or want is for someone to attempt to explain why they are suffering. In the heat of the moment, such explanations often do far more harm than good. Did God consider Job guilty for asking such questions? No, God didn't. God is big enough to handle your questions and my questions, if asked in good faith. Eventually, God brought Job an answer, though not the kind Job might have expected. Out of a whirlwind, God spoke. "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" One version actually reads, "Why do you talk so much when you know so little?" After receiving God's response, Job recognized how little he knew, and he praised God. When it comes to evil in our world and the way God acts in the world more broadly, we should also recognize just how little we know. When my son was about 18 months old, my wife and I rushed him to the hospital to determine whether he had a life-threatening condition. This required a blood draw. My son was upset, flailing his arms and legs. So the nurse asked my wife and I to hold him down while she stuck him with a needle. So we did. I'll never forget the way Joel looked at me. He couldn't put his feelings into words yet, but I could see the questions in his tear-filled eyes. Why are you doing this to me, Daddy? Why aren't you stopping me from being hurt? I wanted to stop him from being hurt, but I had no better alternative. Yet nothing I could have said to Joel at that time would have made him understand what I was doing and why I was doing it. It was the best course available to me for his good. I didn't want him to be hurt. I never want him to be hurt. God also does not want us to be hurt. It is not God's desire that anyone suffer or die. But like my 18-month-old son at that time, we also are often not in a position to understand why God does not prevent the evils we think he should. I had only loving reasons for my actions. Even more so, God always has only good, perfectly loving reasons for what he does or refrains from doing. But we typically are not in position to know just what they are. And given that God is infinite and we are mere creatures, we should not expect to be in a position to know. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Paul writes elsewhere, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Whatever else we say about evil, we should recognize how little we know. Put simply, there are many things we do not know. Recognizing that there are many things we do not know should not only caution us about how we speak to those suffering, it should also remind us that just because we may not know God's reasons, it does not follow that God has no good reasons. If so, even in the absence of any explanation of why there is so much evil, we would not be justified to conclude that God is probably not good after all, or that he doesn't exist. Instead, we might declare with Job, "I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." Jesus' death was not the end of the story. He rose again from the dead, triumphing over death itself. That was not the end of the story for John. He and all others who trust in Jesus will live forever in a world with no more evil, no more crying, no more suffering of any kind. God will bring an end to all suffering soon. In the meantime, place your trust and your hope in him.